All right, welcome back. The first time I've ever done this extra, I don't know what I'm going to call it, the homemade broadcast, late night, red light the district, lost tapes, B-sides. We can curse now if we want to. I'm just going to do it. Fuck. Feels weird, man. I don't like it.
Feels good. It feels organic.
I've gotten so used to not cursing in front of a microphone that I don't like it.
It's a good quality to have.
Well, not if I'm doing like stand up. I curse really hard. I love cursing. But if I have a mic that I don't have to hold.
Yeah. That your hands are what it is, man.
Yes. That's what it
if
is.
If you close, you're going to fucking say fuck. That hands out here.
When you just said that right now, I went, ugh, my butthole just puckered up really tight. And I was like, damn it, I'm going to have to edit
man,
this.
This is the lost tapes, dude. It's the extended podcast.
The extended cut with Cigar City Comedy's Chris Mattson. I appreciate you hanging out
Thanks
a little more.
Thanks for having me, man. It's fun.
It's a fun time. I love doing this podcasting thing. You don't have a podcast. You're one of the few comedians that do not have a podcast.
No, I tried once and I was with my buddy and it was just terrible. It didn't work out well. So maybe I will. What's not going to say?
It's, you know what I'm planning on doing?
What?
I want to put these comedians' podcasts under the homemade broadcast umbrella and start a little network.
That'd be good.
So that way we can distribute our media through those means.
And it would be easier to find if they just go to one place and then there's all these comedians. Because Lawsmith's got what? The triple option?
The triple option. I thought it was a triple onion for a long time.
That's, like, nobody likes onions. Name? That's Patrick Melton. David has the frightened ear.
Yep.
Something Planet with John Jay.
Yep.
See, I know my friend's stuff.
Yeah, everybody's got
even
one.
Even though none of them had me on it, but whatever. No, I've been on David's.
I keep dropping hints. I would love to be a guest on a podcast to have the tables turn. And everyone's like, yeah, okay, sure.
Yeah.
But then nothing happens. And then David just has his girlfriend on again. Or
his wife now,
his
right?
His wife. Is he married now?
They're getting married. I believe that's his fiance now.
It's his fiance, yes, as they call
fiance.
It.
Fiance.
Yeah.
Yeah, man. I think that'd be pretty cool.
It's an idea I'm kicking around, but also, like, I've gotten approached a few times because I have this equipment, and I've offered to let people use the equipment.
Yeah, that's another way to get some money, you know, rent it out for, I don't know. 20.
I'll do it for free. I'm not going to charge anybody.
Just ask for a guest spot, right?
Pretty much, yeah. But, man, so I'm, like, all about it, but then I'm also dealing with comics.
Yeah, who
and
are the most flaky motherfuckers on the planet.
Yes.
Not me. Sober now, so I'll be here.
So you had to, let's talk about your booze, your boozing.
Oh, yeah,
what
man.
Was kinda, it was, do you mind? It was, is that
nah,
a
I don't
sensitive?
No, nah, it's sensitive, but I'll talk about it. I don't give a shit. It's the extended podcast, right?
Yeah, this is B-side.
No, I just, you know, it gets out of hand, and then you have to stop.
Did you start drinking when you were like, young, like when did you start boozing?
I like really started. I started when I was like 16, but I really started when I was like 19, 20, when I was a lifeguard because everybody would have these lifeguard parties. And then when I did stand up,
what's a lifeguard party?
It was just a bunch of lifeguards that got to. You ever heard of Skip and Go Naked?
No,
it's a 12, it's okay, it's a 12 pack of Natty Ice in a igloo cooler, like one of those orange coolers,
sure,
and then you put a bottle of Everclear. Mixed in with that, and then you just take a lemonade mixing packet and you mix it all together, and then you just pour it. Yeah, yeah.
Oh my God.
So they call it skip and go naked because after one, obviously, you skip and go naked.
So these
were the lifeguard parties that I would go to, and it was just complete debauchery. Like, you know, you're 19, 20 years old, and you're drinking a 12 pack of Natty Ice mixed with Everclear and lemonade mix.
Is this a Florida thing? I've never
heard of this. I don't know. I've never heard of anybody else doing it. I'm pretty sure it's the only. I mean, I've talked to other people. They have different terms for it. But, it's probably a Florida thing. That's why there's so many crazy shit that happens here. It's people are on skip and go. And
skip and go.
Mixing Natty Ice and Everclear and shit.
I am thrilled to never have heard of this before until today. I'm really glad that it is not crossed
my path. Welcome to my hell.
So I think the most I ever got the most drunk in my life was on Everclear.
Yeah.
And it was at my friend's. Oh, my God. I was so sick. So I remember my friend got a snow cone machine for Christmas.
Yeah.
And we had this bottle of Everclear and we didn't have anything to mix it with.
Yeah.
So we mixed it with snow cone syrup. and we took shots.
Oh, yeah. That's good, man.
That was terrible. That was a really bad idea. So I remember I must have been 19, 20 or so, and my friend only lived a couple blocks away from me, and I was driving my car, but I was going. I was like, hey, go home. Time to go.
Yeah.
And everyone's like, no, 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 you don't can't do that. Yeah, and I was like, I'm fine. It's cool. And then I dropped my keys out in front, and I remember I went to go pick them up, and I did like this circular movement.
Where your whole body,
And I popped back up.
You teardropped.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. I teardropped. That's a perfect word for it. And I was like, at that point, even in my 20-year-old brain, I was like, okay.
I'm still good to drive.
No, I was like, you're right, I shouldn't drive. Yeah. So someone must have drove me home or something happened where I got home and I woke up in a bed full of puke.
Mm-hmm.
Because I didn't even, I remember drinking when I was younger and you would get the spins.
Yeah, and you put your foot on the ground to think that you tried to stop. Yeah, like that's going to stop the 12-pack that's in your belly right now.
But I must have
putting your foot on the ground.
I just literally passed out, right? So, I mean, I'm glad I didn't choke and die.
Yeah, that's like one of the things. That was one of my things that I was afraid of when I first, you know, like you're a kid and you're drinking. My buddies would pass out. We'd be like, put them on a side, just so they didn't choke.
Yeah.
But
we did a lot of dumb shit. I remember, it's the most fun I've ever had, but we did some really dumb shit in our 20s on booze.
Yeah.
I got set on fire one time. My friend Adam, who used to host this podcast with me, is a giant.
Yeah.
And he had size like 17 shoes.
Holy Lord.
And I decided that we had a thing of gasoline.
Yeah.
And what we were going to do was I was going to soak the shoes in gasoline.
Mm-hmm.
And then I was going to run down the street.
Okay.
And we were going to videotape it because that's hilarious.
Wearing the shoes.
While
in size 17?
In size 17. I had to duct tape them to my feet.
That's good to attach something that's going to be flammable.
It was a good start. So
it's a good start.
What happens is we soak the shoes. Everything's fine. I had these high socks.
Yeah.
So I put them on all the way up to close
like
to
a,
my
like
knee.
Like a wick.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, like exactly. Yes. So, but then what happened was we had this friend, Mike, who was a fucking troublemaker.
Yeah.
And he would encourage, he wouldn't do it, but he would encourage other people to do it. So Adam comes up with this water bottle filled with about this much liquid in it, a quarter inch, half an inch of liquid. And I'm like, what are you doing? And I can already tell something's going on.
You're about to be on fire.
Just in case things get out of control is what he says. So I'm like,
that much water, a quarter of inch.
So I'm like, thanks, man. Thanks for thinking about me.
Yeah.
So I like the shoes, having a great time. So the fluid ends up being lighter fluid, of course.
What?
So they threw this half an inch of lighter fluid and it just went up my whole side. My whole leg was on
fire. What an asshole.
Yeah, it's really dangerous. But this is 20-year-olds drinking.
Yeah, but to go under like, oh, this is water. It'll save your life. And then it really be lighter fluid?
Yeah, he was a cocksucker. Yeah,
what the
sucks. We didn't really like each other.
Well, clearly, man. Especially after that.
We would do terrible, terrible shit to each other. And most of it involved boozing.
Yeah.
Fighting.
I broke this hand right here. I don't have a knuckle from fighting my brother.
Yeah.
Over the last piece of bacon. Not even joking. Me and my brother are 15 months apart, and I used to wail on him as a kid.
Are you the younger or the older?
I'm the oldest. And so my brother's 5'9", I'm 6'1", so I have reach, but he can get in close. So every single time I would just have that older brother mentality where I'm like, I could beat the hell out of him. I don't have to do anything to guard this entire area in front. So every time I'd go reach, he would just hit me with like 3 or 4 punches, and he would mess me up.
You had those little rabbit punches?
Dude, he would kill me because I beat him up for so long, he figured out how to beat me, like without even me. I remember one day we were fighting, and then I remember having my fist back, and then I got hit twice. I had 2 black eyes and a busted nose, like within, and I didn't even hit him once. And that was one of those things where I'm like, all right, I got to figure something else out here.
Switch to sausage.
Yeah.
No more bacon.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, man.
Switch
we used
to sausage.
I'm trying to think of other. Oh, I got another good story for you. Adam, same Adam who set me on fire, decided that he was going to dump concentrated fox urine in the back of Adam Burton's car. Adam drove a little
to do
Saturn.
What? To attract
just
other
fuck him up.
Oh,
no,
yeah.
Just.
Does it smell?
Yeah. Oh, my God. Did it smell?
Where are you from?
Largo.
Largo. Okay.
Yeah, so I grew up here, you know, 20 minutes north
where
of here.
Well, Fox urine. I've never heard of that. Walmart. Oh, just, yeah, you can get it anywhere.
We used to go to...
They have a whole selection of urine.
Yes, definitely
Fox, bear.
Yep.
Deer.
You never know when you're going to need it. Yeah. So on the back of this thing, it said one drop per acre.
Per acre?
Per
oh,
acre.
It's for fox hunting.
It's for either deterring or hunting. Oh, okay. I don't know which one. So Adam's going to put a drop in the back of Adam's car.
Yeah.
It's going to stink and it's going to be hilarious. So Adam goes and sticks his hand in mm-hmm. to the car, and Adam Burton spots him. So to avoid being caught, he lets go of the bottle.
Oh, nice.
And the whole bottle went in the back of his car.
So he had to sell his car.
He, the whole way home, I see him. We're riding. I'm riding with the other guys. Adam and my friend Josh are in Adam Burton's car.
Yeah,
and they both got their heads out the window the whole way. God, and Adam's just—they're not talking to each other. And Josh has this huge smile on his face. And the next day, I came over, and Adam had his car open, backseat pulled out.
Oh yeah.
And he said, "It's not really that bad now." And I stuck my head in there, and it was so bad. It was so bad. I don't know if he... I think he had to keep that car because he was broke. So I think he just had to drive around smelling like piss.
God, dude. I don't even know what you would do with that.
He didn't do anything. Oh, you know
what
he did?
You're 20. You're going to have it, so...
He tried to fuck Adam up because Adam started at the VA.
Yeah.
And he was working for a COPD doctor or something. So on his first day of work, Adam Burton... went and bought a bunch of manure.
Yeah.
And just coated his car with it.
Oh. While he was at work?
No, while he was about to go to work. He did this like special ops, man. He went in at 3 a.m, covered his fucking car. Adam comes out at 6. Yeah. And you can't really squirt that off because if you get it wet, it cakes.
Yeah.
So he got him back pretty good.
Yeah,
still,
that is pretty good. Did he go to work in the poop car?
Yeah, too. He had to go in the poop car. There's so many funny stories from being 20 and boozing.
Yeah.
But what was your kind of like, okay, I can't drink anymore?
Just the whole thing, like I was saying, being on the road. That is, for any comic, you got to be mentally stable to be on the road.
I think that exists, though.
I don't think it exists. You have to have some point... of lunacy to do that, to just constantly leave. But you also have to have, I don't know, some sort of stable mindset. Especially, you know, I was having problems at home and stuff like that. So that just adds to it. And I wasn't being productive where I was getting angry on stage. I was isolating. I was just being really confrontational for absolutely no reason at all other than the fact that I was just drunk. So once I started realizing that, dude, I have to stop. Or I'm going to push everybody away and ruin everything that I've worked for as far as stand-up wise. So I just made the decision.
You didn't have like a rock bottom incident?
Oh, I had a rock bottom where, you know, physically I was unable to do anything. You know, you just drink so much, your body kind of starts giving out.
You get the shakes.
Yeah, I got the shakes a couple times and that was scary as shit. You bleed internally. Mm-hmm. Didn't know that happened.
Oh, yeah.
That scares you when you... poop black. Doctor's like, how long has this been happening? I'm like, 4 days. And they're like, you need to go to the hospital.
What were you drinking? What was your drink
just,
of choice?
Vodka. Mm-hmm. It's cheap.
Yep.
It's sure always it vodka. I talked to somebody about that. My wife is a registered nurse, and that's all she deals with in ICU is just drunks drying out. And she's like, also that helped where it's like you're going to end up like this person who, because your mind goes and your body becomes so addicted to it, it needs it to function. So when it's taken out, you have seizures and you can never be the same again.
Yeah.
So it's not worth it.
Booze is really terrible as far as on the list of drugs. And it's funny that it's one of the legal ones because it'll ruin your life.
It'll legitimately ruin your life.
I know they say that it's a disease, which I think it probably is, but... you know how it's a non-violent crime, but those are the most like
violent
people. Violent fuckers. They're liars. Addicts are liars.
Yeah. How was that? Yeah.
It's not a victimless crime. It's a disease that really affects
your whole family and your friends. I lost friends, family members I have strained relationships with. So that was all a reason to stop, you know. And it was scary when I stopped. When I first did Sly Bar, I was drying out. I think it was like 2 or 3 months sober.
Really? This is pretty recent then.
Yeah, it's a year and 3 months that I've been sober.
Good for you, man.
Yeah, and I just stay to it. My grandmother said the best thing. She's like, you know, Chris, some people just aren't meant to drink. Mm-hmm. And I was like, you know what? That's the best advice I ever got. I'm not going to drink.
My mom gave me the advice, be careful, because alcoholism runs in our family.
Oh, yeah, it does.
Alcoholism runs in everybody's family.
Yeah, every single family. Planet. Yeah, yeah, that's true, if you think about it. But yeah, I mean, that was a, you know, it's a bottom point, you know, when you're broke and you have no home and you get kicked out from living with somebody and then you find yourself back at your parents' house.
Yeah.
Throwing up blood.
Yikes. That's terrible.
It's terrifying to think about. But yeah, then you just fucking become an adult and move on.
But you got your shit together now. I mean, you're married. You got married a couple months ago.
Married back in school. I was with the same person for, you know, 7 years, 6 years. And
so was that kind of a catalyst of like,
yeah, that was too. She's going to leave. She did leave me. And I realized that, you know, shouldn't do that. I want to be with her. And that was enough of a reason for me to stop and just wanted to clean my life up. So working again, doing stand up. And so it was terrifying doing stand up again because I didn't know if I was only doing stand up because I had been drunk.
Right.
Or if it was a legitimate
thing that you wanted
to do. So it was really reassuring to find out that, oh, it's ingrained in me. I like doing this as a normal human being, not a drunk.
How did it change your comedy?
It's helped out immensely. I write more. I'm more lucid on stage and coherent, and I'm not as aggressive, where if I'm having a bad set like tonight, I don't get angry and I don't yell. And if that happens consistently, like, you know, I've had club owners be like, dude, we can't have you doing this anymore if you're going to continue this. So that's pretty humbling.
Were you like threatening to beat people up in
the
audience?
Not threatening, but just coming off like aggressive, almost threatening, kind of. Yeah, like, why the fuck aren't you laughing at this? This joke's brilliant. This joke's great. You know, like that stupid demanding a laugh where it just becomes uncomfortable.
There's like
everybody.
Some entitlement there too.
Yeah, that as well. Because that, you know, when you are in that mindset, I think it is a psychosis where you're a psychopath. Like, you lie, you cheat, you steal just to get what you want. So, yeah, I think that that's what it was.
So that year and 3 months, is it hard going into bars? And
no, it was at first. The triggers for me are like, you know, like Super Bowls, things like that, you know. Clubs don't really bother me anymore. You know, it's kind of nice to be able to walk in and just actually enjoy it for what it was, because I spent so many years going in there just to drink and not experience, not meet other comics, not talk to them. You know, I was working with Brad Williams, and me, Brad Williams, and the feature were all in the green room, like writing jokes with, you know, everybody just sitting there pitching ideas, and it was great. I wouldn't have been doing that if I was drinking, because I'd be down at the bar trying to get some free booze out of the bar. You know I'm the opener, right? Okay, we've given you 7 drinks. We're going to give you one more, and then you got to stop.
Yeah.
You know.
See how that works.
That's it.
Well, good for you, man. You're married.
Married.
Yeah, it's about right, though. You're 30 now. I feel like that's a good time to settle down, I think. How long? You've only been married a couple months, right? A
couple months, yeah. July 18th, we got married. Mm-hmm. But we had been together, like I said, since I was 23. Okay. So off and on since I was 23.
Man, that's a long time.
Yeah, she's been with me through a lot. So with her through a lot.
You were already doing comedy at that point when you met her?
I had just started doing comedy, yeah.
And she was like really supportive of that and everything?
She was, yeah, pretty much from the beginning. The only time that she really wasn't when she realized that it was just an excuse to go booze. So now we have an agreement where it has to be productive. It has to be, if I'm going to go do an open mic or I'm going to go do a set, it has to be, you know, a new joke or something, you know, a new premise, a paid gig, you know, things like that. And I think any comic should have that, you know, where you've got to write to be able to do a new joke. You ever see the comics do the same shit over and over and over and over again? And you're like, dude, this isn't productive at all. And nobody's there to tell them, like, dude, you can't do this unless you start writing jokes. More jokes.
Yeah, I actually had a girl used to come every 2 weeks she'd be there, and she has stopped coming the past few weeks. And one of the things she said was that I'm tired of hearing the same stuff. There's a few guys that do it.
Yeah.
Yeah,
it's tough, especially at open mic, because you want it. You have to do the same jokes.
It's an open mic. Yeah.
It's an open mic, and you want to work on it because there's different nuances. You do a cadence, you know, a different tag, even different voice. You know, sometimes that people want to do, but it comes to a point where it's like, all right,
yeah,
we've heard it. You got this one down. But that's what I was doing when I came back doing stand-up again. I had to do the old jokes. So it pissed off a lot of comics that I was working with because they're like, come on, man. We know you have a lot more. But I was just too timid. Like, I had to do the tried and true just to be able to get back into it.
Yeah.
Mentally.
What I notice is somebody will try something new and it doesn't go over well. And they go, well, old reliable,
yep,
going back to the well.
Yeah, that's a tactic that everyone would do just to be able to get them back on their side. But if you have the same crowd going, then, yeah, that's a little bit more of a kind of a fire under your ass to write some more material.
We have a diverse crowd at Sly Bar because usually we always have some new people that show up, and yeah, a lot of them will bring, you know, friends. Those are the best ones. First-timers that bring their friends,
yeah,
fucking, God bless them,
yeah,
because they bring fucking 12 people in.
Yeah. Yeah, it's always like that. And then they go for the second time, and it's less. Mm-hmm. And then the third time, it's nobody. And then you don't see them again.
Yeah, but then usually the cycle is that somebody else will do that.
Yeah.
Someone else will bring it in.
But that's good for the club itself and the open mic. It's not good for that individual. Because that individual does not learn when they bring 15 people that laugh to appease them. And then they go and see for what it really is. And then they're pissed off.
But then they learn. I mean, so they do.
Some
learn.
Of them learn, but some of them just, you never see them again. The amount of people I've seen do that has got to be like almost 100.
Yeah.
At least in the 8 years.
I've seen them cycle through.
Yeah, you will.
And I'm excited to see what this open mic's going to be because this is after the Best of the Bay thing. So I'm hoping we'll have a
when
really
is it?
Good...
Is it next week?
Yeah, Tuesday, 13th.
I may have
13th.
To go down there. There's,
you should, man.
There's a...
You haven't been down there in a long time.
No, I haven't been
none
down there
none
since...
None of the Cigar City guys have been down in months and months. I think John Murray came.
John Jay and Jacobs, I think, is back.
He is back. I heard that. I hope he comes out. I've always liked... I feel like me and him had a bond.
Yeah, he's amazing, man.
He's a
like
really
him.
Sweetheart.
Yeah, I'll be down there for actually Bob Shoemaker's son's fundraiser over at the Hideaway. So I will go on Tuesday.
Sweet. What's going on there?
Fundraiser for
same
his son.
Day, the 13th?
I believe so, yeah. Next Tuesday.
Okay, is it comedy, music?
I have no idea, but I'm just going to go show the support for Shoemaker's son, so... That was the guy, you know, he got medically something wrong with him. So
yeah,
they're going to help him out with his bills.
Yeah, put something on the Facebook or something.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. There's an event. I'll share it.
Yeah, let me know. Send it to me. I'll put it in the description and all
yeah,
that. Are you performing or are you just going to hang
I'm
out?
I'm just
going
to go hang out, but I'll go to Sly Bar, work on some new shit.
We have the crowds are weird too, man. Sometimes I think it's the stage at Sly Bar is weird. Some people
it's
love
so
it,
weird.
Some people hate
it's
it.
It's so weird. You got to go up that little spiral staircase.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I always freak out like the thing's going to break.
I always feel like it's going to break,
yeah,
too.
Yeah, me and you are big guys, so
yeah,
like you don't want to... That would be the worst. You like go up to do your set, you're already nervous, and then the
stage falls.
Fucking stage breaks?
I just imagine somebody.
But you know, the booker
would be
like, "You still got to do your time."
Yeah, yeah. I'm broken. Nothing works in my body. Your brain works.
Yeah, yeah.
Just,
5 minutes.
Here,
man.
I'll just put the mic up.
Yeah,
to your face.
There you go.
There you go. You're good.
Yeah,
as you
man.
Weep through 5 minutes. Yeah, yeah. Sly Bar's weird, man. But they've been like super cool with like the comedy and stuff like that, and been really like they give away money. I don't know any open mic that gives away money.
I don't know that either. I've never. I mean, when I started the open mic, the big one that everybody wanted to do that you could sign up for, but you had to pay money, was the open mic at the Tampa Improv because you got to do the main room, and then you paid $25. There'd be 10 comics. $250 would be the prize. So
they would give it back.
So they would give it back.
That's fair. Okay.
To the first and second place.
That's like playing fantasy football for a comedy type of thing.
Yeah, it was. But I won once, then my friend won once, and then we were done. And then it eventually turned into, okay, when everybody started winning it, no one was like, I'm not paying $25 just so this guy could win it. And then the next week, the next guy does, and then next. It became almost like it was kind of rigged.
Yeah.
You know, and there was a pattern to it, and everybody kind of picked up on it, so it stopped. That was fun.
That's one of my criticisms of Coconuts, is that it's $5 if you want to do an open mic. And how much money could you possibly be collecting out of that? Were you going to get $30?
Yeah,
you
know? I don't know. I thought it was free, but I don't know.
I think it's five. Yeah. As far as I know, it's $5.
Yeah, Side Splitters is like that, too. It's actually way more than that. I think it's like $12, $12 or $15 for the comics.
To do the mic.
To do the open mic, comics night out. It's 12 or 15, and then you get a drink ticket.
Yeah, that's nice. I'd rather just, you know, let them buy the drinks. Yeah. You know, a lot of people drink. I mean, Sly Bar, people drink.
Yeah, I think that is a way for them to get some money, but also it gets you in front of the, you know, the managers. That way they you can, they can see you and be like, all right, you paid $15, but here, we'll give you a guest spot, and then eventually you can get some hosting. I think that's the mechanics behind it.
Okay, that's fair. Okay, that's fair enough. Well, I just, that's why I like to try, I like to try to keep everything free, at least to get people. So, okay, so maybe my open mic is like A-League ball.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
So then, like, if you're okay, then you can go and pay and then step up the trip to double A.
Yeah, it's an investment. I mean, you know, just don't do a comedy class and pay for that shit. Have you seen that stuff? There was a guy charging $1,000 for a class.
For how long is a class?
3 weeks.
3 week class, and what
and it
kinda...
was only like I. It wasn't here. My friend told me about it when he was in LA.
Did he have any credits under his name? Or
I can't remember who it was now. I can't believe I don't remember who this was. It was a guy with. I do remember it now. It was Louis Anderson.
Oh, okay. From the fat gay guy.
The fat gay guy
with the weird teeth.
Yes.
Okay, he's pretty famous.
It was like $1,000 or $1,200. My friend won a comedy competition at a comedy club in L.A., and he won a pass for a free week of it. So he just did it, but he was talking to some of the people, and he was like, these people are paying like $1,200 for a three-week class.
Ripped off.
With Louis Anderson.
I mean, Louis Anderson's a big
He's
name.
A legitimate guy.
He was a huge
But
in
when
the
people
80s.
Start doing that, they just want... They just need any kind of form of income, I think.
Yeah.
But I could be wrong.
And is that something, I don't know if it's something you can teach. I feel like
it's
you're
not
good at
I
it.
I don't, anyone that takes a comedy class, I think.
Shouldn't be doing comedy, probably.
I don't know. I have friends that did it, but I don't think they'll benefit. And I don't know. I don't think they'll benefit from it, honestly. I don't. They could sit there and tell you for days, this is what you're going to do. This is how to write a joke. If you want to go for joke writing, maybe that'll be, you know, they'll be able to tell you, like, all right, cut this out, set this, you know, do whatever. But as far as actually learning how to do it, you got to just do open mics. That's it. There's no other way.
Yeah, you have to eat shit.
You have to eat
a lot. You have to eat a lot.
Balls
of
on
shit.
Stage.
A lot of shit.
Have you eaten shit? Like, terribly bad.
Yeah, actually, you know what? Not really. You know, the last time I really ate my dick and balls was at when I last time I saw you at the Dunedin Brewery. That was
that was kind of a tough crowd.
That I really well, I started out with. I think I started with kind of a race joke, and there was a table.
Yeah.
There was a black guy.
Yeah.
And then like two white chicks, and then a white dude.
Yeah, I remember that.
And they just looked at me.
Yeah.
And I was like, no, I'm not getting this back. I can already tell.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I really ate shit then, but...
Should start with, like, airplane food jokes.
Yeah, that's one of my favorites.
Get everyone on your side. Tough to... I ate shit. The worst I've ever experienced is a showcase with... I was on with, like, six other comics who were my friends, and everybody killed except for me.
Ooh.
So that, I think, is way more humbling and hurtful than, like, I'd rather do a set at the Improv and eat shit on a regular show than do another showcase and fucking die.
Yeah.
And then you're standing outside with them and everybody is just walking past you and talking to everyone else like, you fucking killed. Hey, buddy. And then,
bye.
Yeah, that's when I just walk away. I don't even try and hang out and talk to the crowd anymore because it's just...
I felt so bad at that Dunedin mic because Law was after me.
Yeah.
And, like... I was just like, oh, dude, sorry, man. But I think Law kind of pulled it out of the gutter there. But there was only, like, what, eight people in there or something, too? Like, that sample size is not inducive of well you did.
It's not at all. It's not. And it shouldn't be taken at face value. It should just be like, all right, I'm getting these jokes out of here, like, out in the open, and I'm working on it. Any kind of laughter, I think, is just a benefit, you know, an added bonus.
I'm trying to remember what the joke was, because I remember it made me laugh, but also I understand that I'm very white, and I'm going to have a really tough time talking about any
racial... Yeah, you're going to have to soften it. That's the key.
But
I
don't want to. I'd rather not
just
do
come
it,
off it. Yeah, yeah. Or yeah, then...
I remember what it was.
Okay.
So this was... I did the improv one night. And I noticed, like I said, it was like black people one side, white people one side. And a lot of the black comics, it was like hack shit, man. It was like, hey, white people do this and black people do that. Yeah. And I was like, are we still, that was like 1989, we're still doing that? Yeah. So I was like, I think I started, well, I started was, yeah, you know, white and black people are different. That's true. For instance, white people say things like, good morning, how are you? And black people say things like, oh my God, they're killing us in the streets. And meaning that it was a gay voice. Yeah. It was, and that was the joke. I was kind of, it was satire on the whole thing. Yeah. It may not be funny. It made me laugh when I thought about it. So I wanted to try it out. And it didn't go over. I tried it at the improv, didn't go well. And I tried it at the mean, play, and then you just
scrapped it.
And I scrapped it.
Yeah.
I didn't do it again. I'd like to do it in my head in the bathroom by myself.
Just doing that voice.
And
is
it makes
funny.
Me laugh. Yeah. Yeah. I have a great time entertaining myself.
They're killing us in the street.
The police.
That's just a funny voice, regardless of the context.
And that's what I figured. Like, that's what's going to catch you off guard, you know? But nope. It's not, it didn't work. So,
every comic goes through that where you try a joke and you love it. Mm-hmm. You love it so much. You're like, why doesn't it work? I've had a couple of those, man.
I don't understand.
I've been confronted by people after shows, angry, like very angry. I do this joke about shaking a baby and it's shaking a baby, whatever. So it's a joke where it's a comparison. I'm not shaking it. It's just a joke, you know, whatever. So after my set, I was standing outside, and this woman, she was drunk. She just came up to me, and she's like, you know, it's not funny to talk about shaking her baby. And I was like, I know. That's why it's a joke. And I've said that on stage, and I don't shake kids. I've never shaken a kid. And she goes, well, when I shook my baby, I was mortified. So I was like, she was pissed at me. And she was projecting all her guilt onto my nonsense.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
It's like, I'm telling jokes. You have a kid with a twitch now that you're trying to defend. Why am I in trouble?
Yeah, and you're right. It is projection. Yeah. And that's a crazier thing, too, is that the truth is crazier than reality. So even if you think of something so outrageous, it's probably happened
to
at
somebody.
At some point. So this just Tosh got in trouble for the rape thing.
Which is stupid, and I hate that more than anything because he killed, and everybody was laughing, but they kept saying that everybody was uncomfortable and it was offensive and all this other shit because that lady went on.
Because she wrote a blog. That's another thing.
On Jezebel. I can't stand fucking Jezebel.
Oh, I hope Jezebel and Gawker. I think Jezebel and Gawker are
they're the same thing. They have the same outline. Or is that Deadspin?
I don't know. I try to stay off Gawker and Jezebel as much as I can.
I go on it every now and again when I want to make myself angry.
Hopefully my boy Hulk Hogan can take him down. He's suing Gawker for $100 million.
Yeah.
I'm pretty sure that will bankrupt them, I hope.
I think. I mean, it's so outrageous. I don't think he'll get that. I think he'll get something.
Yeah, I hope they put some out of business, though. That would be more satisfying for me. Because they're bastards, man. They're journalists.
They're not journalists.
They're gotcha journalists. They try to catch you, and then they manipulate the words.
Yeah.
And I saw something. I had to defend Mike Huckabee last week, or a couple weeks ago.
And
I was like, stop making me defend these people. Yeah. I don't want to defend them. But what they said was that, so when the gay marriage thing took place, he was in support of that Kim Davis lady.
Oh,
and the analogy
he used...
I remember that. Yeah. But so, stupid.
Yeah.
So, but the analogy he used was, okay, just because it's law doesn't mean it's right. For instance, Dred Scott versus the United States, which Dred Scott, I don't know if you're familiar, but he was a former slave, or no, he was a slave that sued the government for his freedom and lost.
Yeah.
And then it made a law that slavery was fine.
Yeah.
So he used that analogy in terms of gay marriage. Okay. I can see where you're coming from. Still dumb.
Yeah.
So this magazine, Complex Magazine, I was subscribing to him on Facebook, said Mike Huckabee thinks that there should still be slavery.
Oh,
that's what they said.
Oh, they twist shit around all the time.
And it's like,
that's not even close to what he said, but
there's a study that
he said those words in a sentence.
Yeah.
So.
They manipulated what he said to fit a narrative, which is not true. You can call the guy an asshole.
But it's all clickbait.
Exactly. And that's the thing. There was a study done that 83%, I think the number was, of people just read the headline. They do not read
past
the headline.
And that's how they get their news.
Yes.
And they tell you, and they're like, Mike Huckabee wants slaves.
And the comments.
Why does he want slaves?
The comments.
He just wants slaves.
What a racist. The guys are, and I mean, he might be a racist. I don't know.
I wouldn't doubt it.
I wouldn't doubt it, but I mean, it's just, it's not fair. It's not true, and stop making me defend these fuckers. I don't want to do it.
Yeah.
But I feel like it's just, I have a need to be right, and, and I want people
attacking the journalistic integrity.
Yeah, very much so.
That's what it is. It has nothing to do with what he said. It's just how ridiculous these people are now as far as journalists. And they're not. They're just 18-year-old girls talking shit.
Yep.
That's it.
And that's they don't look into anything,
there's
really.
There's no consequence.
And exactly right, too. There's no consequence for it. So they can write whatever they want. Yeah. And they can. It's easy to twist somebody's words.
Yeah.
And I know it's been an old tool in the media for a long time. However, this is another thing that's been so blown out of proportion, and it's run amok, and people are dumb, and they don't take the time to inform themselves. They're really quick to form an opinion.
Yeah.
People rush to form an opinion. The clock kid, that's another thing that...
the kid that built the clock?
That was bugging the shit out of me because...
Why?
Okay, so...
I love it. Uh-oh, here it is.
I don't blame the kid, first of all.
No,
he's a 14-year-old nerd that got put up to it by his dad.
Yeah.
They showed how easy it was to make his invention. You took the guts out of a clock and you put it in a pencil box.
Yeah.
And that's what it was. His dad was a notorious... This is just doing research on Google.
Yeah.
Because I was like, when I heard the story, I was like, that's fucked up, man.
Yeah.
Come on, seriously? And then I looked into it. His dad was running for president of some African country where it's a monarchy.
Yeah.
He's an attention hound. He is an activist about Islamophobia in America, which I don't buy that shit either. I'm sorry. So I think he put this kid and said, here, take this to school.
It was
a hustle. It was a bait and switch. It's Texas.
I was going to say, because who builds an old-timey bomb with a clock on it, like cartoony style?
Yeah.
Like, that's not even close.
I don't know what bombs look like.
I don't know either, but I'm assuming it's like the Roadrunner.
When I saw it, I was like, it kind of looks like a bomb to me. Like, but I don't know what a bomb looks like.
No.
So the story was, is the kid showed it to the teacher, and he was like, that's cool. Don't show that to anybody.
Yeah.
And then the alarm went off in his English class, and he was apparently, the kid was not very cooperative, is what happened. So they detained him.
Twat.
Yeah. He wasn't playing along. They were asking him questions about it. So he got detained, and now he's getting... And I saw these things where he was like, I do all sorts of inventions. I solder CPUs.
CPUs?
You can't do that.
Yeah.
You know, I have no doubt. I don't want to blame the kid because it's not his fault. He's just some
nerd. The dad did it and it was that calculated, that dad's a fucking piece of shit.
That's what it was, man. I'm telling you. And Obama got hustled and a lot of the country got hustled on that one. Because,
But I believe all that shit that... It's all a hustle to get attention. Like the women who take the selfie, the fat shaming, where they say that this person was behind me making all these claims and these statements. There's no other person to, you know, say their side of the story. So this person's just typing that somebody was mean to them in quotations, and then get a million people to retweet it. End up on all of these talk shows getting paid money for their interview.
Yep.
And there's no other like side to corroborate what they said.
Like, everybody takes it for...
They're like, this person is so mean. And in my mind, I'm like, there was no person. I guarantee you there was no person making fun of this woman.
I guarantee it too. There's another subreddit that happened. You should check out too.
Oh,
that's
yeah.
That's pretty good.
Where somebody was claiming that it happened.
They're
and
like,
then,
oh my God, you won't believe it. There's always stuff like that. Like I walked in and I don't know. I don't have a good example.
Yeah, made... Like the one that I read recently was the one where the daughter and the mom were picking out clothes and they said that this one was like a parachute. And it happened to be the woman's size.
Yeah.
And so she was like, I was fat shamed or whatever the hell it is. I don't know.
They always end with, and the rest of the people started clapping and I left. Have you ever seen that?
It's just, right? Some guy started a, it's like Carrie. Like, it doesn't exist where they're dumping blood on you and then she starts moving shit.
It's theatrical. With their mind. And you can't question anything. You can't be skeptical because you're a piece of shit
if you
blaming.
Question it. Right. And you're racist and sexist and, I don't know, and offensive if you do question it.
Yeah. I think, though, that people who are, I don't know, white dudes, I'm going to use that example, are getting tired of called those things, though, and now you're having this backlash of this cultural libertarianism that's rising up.
Yeah.
Maybe not libertarian politically in your political views, but culture should be free and open, and you should be free to mock or, you know, do whatever you want.
Yeah, make fun of anybody. That's what, if you're an asshole, you're an asshole, period.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that's the way it should be. There should be no race context or sex context or anything like that.
You should be free to try to make anything funny, though.
Yeah.
And
oh, well, yeah, totally. And you should be able to make a joke about whatever the hell you want. If it's not funny, then it's not funny. And shut the fuck up.
The free market
don't
will
do
determine that.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. The free market of comedy crowds will determine that.
If they don't come see you and you don't get booked anymore.
But exactly. There are comics that I know that are dead set on doing these rape baby jokes and are like pissed when they're told that they shouldn't do it. And it's like, you shouldn't do it because not only is it ridiculous, but it's not funny. If you can make it funny, they'll fucking make, you can do it then.
Yeah.
But it's not funny. Like, make it funny, and then we'll talk about it.
Yeah, and I mean, maybe they're trying, and if they're still continuing to do it, I don't know. I mean, like, for that, even that, like, all right, you stink, maybe.
Yeah.
Like, you should be free to say that. But, like, there's even things, this woman went to the UN, Anna Sarkeesian, I think her name is, or something
that
like that.
Familiar.
She's this big third wave feminist chick who has literally said verbatim, quote, everything is sexist, everything is racist, everything is homophobic, and you need to call it out. That is a direct quote from her, not being ironic.
That's ridiculous.
Literally everything. So I don't know. That's so obscene to me.
Yeah.
Like, that offends me that she feels that way.
I heard this statement from this girl on NPR. Her father was some big, I don't know, scientist or not scientist, but teacher. And she is now at Harvard or whatever, but she was talking about patriotism. And she said that patriotism is implicitly racist because who are you to think that you're better than anyone? And I was like, wow.
Yeah.
I can't believe that. Like, that thought is what she had.
Yeah.
And believes.
Like, the more conservative crowds are the new counterculture.
Yeah.
Now they're the weirdos. They're the like the dirty hippies of the day. Like, if you, especially like St. Pete and probably Tampa too, less so probably Tampa, but I know St. Pete is super lefty progressive.
Yeah.
And I'm pretty liberal on a lot of things, but it's such a, I'm afraid to say certain things because I'm afraid that I'm going to be shunned and written off because of how I feel a little
so
differently.
Offensive
and I probably am offensive to some people, but so what?
Yeah.
I shouldn't be, I haven't been, and I don't want to jinx myself either, but I am afraid to say some things.
Yeah, me too. I mean, everybody, especially on stage. I'm sure I've written jokes and I'm like, you know, I don't want to do that. You know, and
usually
that
just make fun of myself.
Yeah,
usually because I'm an easy
but
target.
That's what I do now. Is I write more personal stuff because I was so afraid of writing. You know, the parallel thinking where you write similar jokes to somebody else, and there's only so many topics that you could write about. But if you write personal things that happen to you, then you're fine. Nobody can copy it.
Right.
And if they do, they're stealing jokes. Mm-hmm. So whatever. And if somebody goes, "Oh, they have something similar," you'll be like, "Whatever. This is what happened to me.
Mm-hmm.
This is true." And that's how I try and write. Which is, you know, I think better and help me out instead of worrying about what these other people will think.
Yeah. I just wish people would get a thicker skin.
Mm-hmm.
I think part of it is, remember when we'd just be like, shut up.
Yeah.
We'd tell people to shut up.
That's offensive.
You can't do that anymore.
You can't do that. Like, kids are offing themselves because of social media attacks.
How is that even a thing?
I don't even know it's a thing, but I was really upset. Like, the YouTube comments, like, they really fuck with me. But you know what I did? I mean, I understand that I had the mental capacity and the maturity to go, I'm not going to read it anymore.
Yeah, shut
maybe
my computer
a kid
off.
Who's 14, you know, doesn't possess that. But it shouldn't be the end of the world. And I think that just goes back to their environment that they're raised in, maybe their parents. You know, where they just sit there and be like, this is not the end of the world. Just don't read it. You know, it's that simple. But
yeah, I think it should be. So this woman goes to the UN, right? This is what I wanted to tell you.
Oh, yeah.
And I think Google was behind it, too, had something to do with it. Oh, so her thing was they want the UN. The UN can't do shit, okay? The UN is useless. Nobody gives a shit. But she appealed to them to have ISPs and social media outlets monitor their content that goes on their website for harassment. Now, harassment can be basically anything mean.
Yeah.
Any criticism is now mean. Mocking.
Gossiping is considered harassment because I had a meeting at work, the other place that I worked at, where people were gossiping, and that is considered a form of harassment. So what is social media other than gossiping? So the whole thing is fucking harassment, man.
Yeah, but that's what this woman said. Everything is sexist. Everything is racist. Yeah. So basically, she just said that an harassment can be the day-to-day, you suck or you're wrong.
Yeah.
You're wrong. You can't say that you're wrong.
How are we supposed to grow as a society where we can't go, hey, you're a fucking idiot?
We're devolving, man. I'm telling you. The technology
Everybody keeps bringing up. I still have never seen it, but Idiocracy. Mm-hmm. People keep bringing that up as a... as an example.
It's happening. It is happening.
I got to watch it now because I have no idea what they're referencing.
It's pretty good. It's Mike Judge. It's if you like.
Oh, yeah, I like Mike Judge.
Yeah, he's great.
What was the last one I saw? Extract.
Extract was good with Jason Bateman.
Jason Bateman. Yeah. Ben Affleck played a great stoner, man.
Yeah.
I thought he was awesome. Man.
Yeah, it was a great
movie.
And
Mila Kunis.
Hottie. Hot. Yeah, that's pretty much all she does.
Yeah.
I saw something Gwyneth Paltrow today believes. I only read the headline. So I cannot condemn her fully for this. But the headline said that she believes she should be paid as much as Downey Jr. because they're in the same movie for Iron Man.
Oh, yeah.
Because he gets $20 million. So she should get $20 million.
Is she in the suit? No.
No. And she's not even... She's only in the movie for like...
5 minutes.
Yeah.
Who is the chick from Harmony from the Harry Potter movies?
Oh.
She was complaining... Yeah.
I forget her name.
She's experienced sexism in Hollywood because in the 40 movies she's been in, only two were female directors.
Right.
It has nothing to do with the fact that they're male or female. It's just, are you a good director?
Yes.
That's what I think it should be.
It should be the best person should get the job, but that's not the case anymore.
Yeah.
That's why I kind of talked about it.
But I think it should be, especially when you have a $100 million movie behind it. I think race and sex should be out of the window and be like, who is the best person for the job? Black, white, female, male, who cares?
That's what the free market is not racist or sexist. It can't be because all it cares about is profits.
Money.
If you have a person, so you're looking at their resume and you're saying, oh, this person went to Yale. They're only going to ask $100,000 a year, and they're going to save us 20% off our bottom line. And then they look at the name. Oh, it's a black woman.
Yeah.
Never mind.
Yeah, that will never do that.
It will never happen. And if companies do that, they will go out of business because their bottom line is the only thing that matters.
Yeah.
I talked about it a little bit last week, the wage gap.
Yeah.
I think it's a myth, but it goes back to they say women earn 77 cents to a man's dollar.
Yeah.
Which, if you compare the median, that is true. But they don't account for what the job is.
Yeah.
Engineers are predominantly male.
Yeah.
80% or something like that. Wow. And they make way more money than a school teacher or a nurse or jobs that are predominantly female. Also, women... childcare, they don't take for women taking time off if they're working full-time or part-time. There's a lot of different factors there.
Yeah, there's different variables.
So while the raw median is true, you're not looking past it. But now there's still fucking the president goes on and talks about it.
Yeah.
And it's like no credible economist is on board with this anymore.
Yeah, the wage argument as far as minimum wage, I've been reading a lot about that, is the $15 is what people want, but I hate the memes or whatever it is. Like this guy, the CEO of Dunkin' Donuts, doesn't believe that it should be $15 an hour, and they put what he makes an hour, like $4,993. This guy doesn't think $15 is good enough. It's like, well, yeah, he's a CEO, and he knows what the fuck people should be paid.
Right.
Like, I don't care who it is. Like, he runs all of Dunkin' Donuts. $4,000 at... I love those breakfast sandwiches. Pay him whatever he fucking needs.
I do agree that CEOs are paid too much. However, yeah. On a whole,
I think once you reach CEO status, they don't do much.
No, they don't really do anything, I don't think.
Buy them out. Go, hey, this, you're going to get a percentage of the company's earnings every single year. You're not going to get a salary. You're just going to get a percent. And then that's it. I think that is sufficient. If you worked your ass off to get the CEO spot, no, you don't get $6 million a year to go on a fucking boat.
Yeah.
You can get a percentage of what the company makes. And if you want to come back and work, then you're going to work under a different title.
I agree. It should be more performance-based. I think that's what they do in Japan.
Yeah.
Or something like
that. Some companies do that, because I've seen that happening, where they have a $1 salary, yeah, and they just get a percentage. Whatever it is.
So I agree with that, but I also feel like entrepreneurship and wanting to be successful and perhaps even wealthy is now demonized.
Mm-hmm.
Those people are looked on as like scum, and that they're taking advantage of the common man, the working man.
But there is no common working man now, I don't think.
How so? What do you mean?
Maybe, I don't know, maybe I misspoke there. I think as far as somebody, I think there's too many people that want too much as far as for what they're doing. I think what they want and what they do don't coincide. So like I want like the $15 an hour. I want $15 an hour. Okay, well, what's your job? What do you do? I don't make $15 an hour, and I cook for 70 people every single day, two meals. And I don't think that's enough.
Mm-hmm.
But people want bare minimum to, you know, like a toll booth collector, you know, probably makes what, 15, 16 bucks an hour?
They make pretty good money.
They make great money, you know, and I just don't think that there's that, I don't know, the way that I view it is the common working man is like the guy with a miner's hat and dirt on
average
his face.
Average Joe.
Black lung.
Ham and egger.
Yeah, yeah, that, you know, that's what I view it as. So.
Yeah, there's no
just
real...
Just to clarify that, so I'm not saying that.
I got you. I understand what you mean. Like, in the 50s, you'd go
that's the way I look
at
it.
And something, and
there's
wear
some
a hard hat.
With a chewed cigar.
Yes.
You know.
I know exactly what you mean. Yeah, those guys don't really exist anymore.
Basset hound next to him and shit, you know.
Drinking a beer at
work.
Drinking
a beer.
Yeah.
That's the greatest picture I've ever seen. The picture of the skyscraper, they're working on it in the 1930s, and they're just sitting there with no safety harnesses, nothing, and the guy's got a bottle of fucking liquor.
Yeah.
Just sitting there.
Yep.
Like, man, whatever, another day at the job.
It was good old days, I guess.
Yeah,
that's what they called it.
But that's the way I view it, yeah, so... But
so those people are demonized. If you do well, you know, there was the Wall Street thing where eat the rich type of thing. And
yeah,
I don't think that people should be penalized for doing well. Some people, there's a myth that we're all equal.
Yeah,
too. That's just not true. Some people are smarter.
Yeah.
Some people are stronger.
Yeah.
I mean, there's just in nature, some people are going to do better than other
people.
Everybody
gets a participation trophy now.
It's really unfair. And I mean, it's some people are just cut out for certain things. I'm not going to be CEO of a company.
Nope, me either.
I know that. So I'm not going to make $10 million a year, but I also understand why.
Yeah.
And it's fine.
It's self-awareness is more important than confidence, I think. Mm-hmm. I really do.
And nobody
has
that.
At this point, nobody has any self-awareness. And it goes back to social media where it's impulsive and you don't know what you're saying or what you're doing or how anything affects any decision that you're making right now, I guess, is what I'm trying to say. Is just, it's all, I don't know, it's too much right now. It's way too much.
It is. It's bullshit, man. All right, dude, let's get out of here.
Yeah.
I got to go to work tomorrow.
Me too.
Make this. Thanks for coming in for the, I don't know what I'm going to call this, the B-Sides after hours of the Homemade Broadcast. Hope you enjoyed the extra content. Check out HMB Radio. Check out CigarCityComedy.com. Have a good one. Talk to you at some point in the future. Goodbye.